creation.
Entrepreneurship.
The next idea.
We have to make room for this ability to learn to be creative.
It's certainly no secret that when you think of innovation, think of business, you have to think of China. Interacting with Chinese companies, educators, officials, it can present a tough language challenge. Mandarin Chinese is so fundamentally different from English, especially in tonal inflections. My next guest is a Michigan State University researcher who's working with a team of students developing a new game that could help English speakers learn Mandarin. The game is called Picky Birds. Developer Catherine Ryu of Michigan State University with us now. Welcome, Catherine.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on this program. I'm thrilled to be here.
Now, Mandarin Chinese, here we've got the most common language on the planet. What is it about Mandarin that makes it so hard for us to learn?
Well, as you mentioned, it is a tonal language. That means that unlike English, where you can add inflection to give texture to what you're saying, in Mandarin Chinese, if you change the tone, it actually changes the meaning of what you want to say. So, for example, you know, in English, you can say no in many different ways. Like,
sure.
No means, like, really no.
In fact, my two-year-old granddaughter has about 10 different ways of saying no, and we totally, everyone is different, but you're right. But it's still no.
Right. It still means negation.
Yes.
But in Chinese, let's take an example, the sound ma. If you say in first tone, which would be something like ma, it means mother. But if you say ma, that means hemp, the plant hemp. And if you say ma, that means horse. And if you say ma, the fourth tone, that means to scold, a verb. So if you get the tone wrong, if you mean to say mother, and if you use a third tone, then you just call someone's mother horse.
Okay.
So that's why it's really difficult. But, you know, more than that, when we think about how to learn a new language, which is tonal, a native speaker of English, they do not have infrastructure in their brain to perceive the sound. So we have to actually be able to create new neurological connections.
Oh,
so that's why
I get
it takes
that.
so long to internalize this new form of meaning making.
So we as English speakers have to basically, you know, blaze new paths in our brain to kind of perceive these tones and process them and remember them as a sensory perception.
That's right. But see, we have to also, in the beginning, when you're just learning, you hear and perceive and process it as a perceptual cues. So even though I don't speak Chinese, you could hear that, oh, this ma is different from ma. Mm-hmm. But as you learn more, since it's tied to meaning, it then becomes lexical tone. So native Chinese speakers would process lexical tones in their left brain, but novice Mandarin speakers, learners of Mandarin, they would process it in the right side of their brain because they perceive it as perceptual cues.
And your research studied the effect of color on language learning. Why did you think that color would help students learn and process these sounds?
Well, I approach color as one of the many ways to create multimodal learning environments. And as you know, in this day, in digital era, a lot of learning actually occurs in multimedia environments, and color plays a very important role. But conventionally, when we teach Chinese, color is not one of the traditional methods. We use number, like 1, 2, 3, 4, or a stylized pitch contour to indicate different tones. So I thought, well, how about if we actually use color in a purposeful way so that color, when it appears on an app or on a website, it's not just used as a decorative element, but it can be an integrative part of learning. So that's why I thought that color would be another way of visually representing sounds. So you could actually see the sound through color. And, you know, color is one of the primary stimulus that we immediately respond to.
Out of this thought process and your research has come this game called Picky Birds, which, by the way, I just love the name of that game.
Thank you.
So students are identifying which cartoon bird is singing which tone?
Yes, that's right. It's color-coded. So first tone, we connect it to yellow and green to the second tone and blue for the third tone and red for the fourth tone. And this color choice is generally based on the finding that our human brains are wired to perceive higher tones with lighter hue. So hence yellow with a first tone. And as you hear the sound, you can see that each tone kind of gets deeper. And the fourth tone is very forceful, which also has emotional coloring. And some of the words in Chinese that has negative connotation or very important words seem to be fourth tone. And this is just a very broad observation. So that's not the rule. But so the fourth tone is red for us.
So ultimately, using picky birds can kind of help build these new pathways in our brains for being able to absorb all these different Mandarin tones.
Yes. I guess another way of thinking about this is it helps us to create a mental representation of the sound and the tone so that once you practice a lot, then hopefully that will help us to create new neural paths.
And how far along are you in developing and trying and vetting this game?
Well, we have currently Picky Bird 1.0, and right now we are working on Picky Bird 2.0. And the main modification that we are currently making is to create a higher quality audio files, since this game is precisely for sharpening perceptual sensitivity. Our team thought that it's very critical that we have highest audio quality files.
And it is important, isn't it, for students in this country to be learning Mandarin right now when you think of the world of today and the economy of today?
Yes, very much so. And when we learn Chinese, learning tones turns out to be one of the most challenging aspects of learning Mandarin Chinese. So that if we can help students to feel more comfortable with tones by playing these games. And by the way, I called it Picky Birds, and it does not have any Chinese connotations implicit in the title because it's not necessarily just for learning Mandarin Chinese, but the main purpose is to sharpen our perceptual sensitivity so that we could hear well. That is a very fundamental step toward acquiring higher Mandarin Chinese tonal skills.
Do you ultimately, Catherine, see this as something that could be put into elementary schools and even perhaps even younger to kind of start planting these seeds at a very young age?
Yes, very much so. I hope that once we complete the development and a lot of people will be using this app. And it does not have to be just for young users. I think it's probably good for any age because when adults like myself, when I played, it brings out the child in me. And I think the beauty of app game is that you just kind of play it, and in the process of playing it, you kind of internalize what you are taking in. So it will be helpful for the players, users of all ages. I hope that would be the case.
And when do you expect to have Picky Birds on the market?
Well, we are going to run a beta testing this summer, so hopefully we'll be ready this fall.
It does sound like a good way to get a good brain workout, no matter what your age and what your interests,
right,
and certainly to start along the road of learning Mandarin. Catherine Ryu is an associate professor of Japanese literature and culture at Michigan State University. Catherine, thank you so much for being with us on The Next Idea.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Support for The Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.